Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So it's so great to be with you. It would be greater if you were in the building, but it's still great to be with you all this evening. And I know that the Lord will bless you in your homes as a family. I was listening to Pastor Harold speak this morning, and he was saying that, you know, it's amazing how during the first Passover, everyone was in houses. They were in their homes. And here we are, a Passover season, about 3,500 years later, and we are primarily in our homes. People are forced to be together at home in their houses and not to be in the houses of worship. And I think the Lord is just drawing us at the moment to take note. But it's Good Friday, and before I kind of dive into the message, I just want to give you a real quick recap of just a few things I've been speaking about over the past couple of weeks. If you've been connecting online, you know, about 2.5 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, we did a special communion service, and we really discussed the power of communion and the power of the blood, and taking a look at the first Passover, what actually took place. And I think it's in Exodus 12 where you actually read about it, where we see how the children of Israel are in the midst of the plagues, and the Lord gives the instruction to put the blood on the doorposts. And with that blood, that symbol of death, that symbol of exchange, that angel of death would pass over them and they would not die. But we also know that symbol of exchange, which would represent not only their almost like forgiveness passing over, but it was also a covenant, a symbol of provision. It was a symbol of so much more. You know, it's like I was watching one of the shows my daughter loves to watch, these fire lighters, or what are they called? Torch lighters. What was the lady's name that we were watching? Gladys Elworth. And she was praying, and she was saying in her prayer how, if it was because of this, Lord, we would give you praise. If it was because of this, we would give you praise. And it's one thing after another. And it was like that with the children of Israel, how they would be able to give God praise for what he did just in that moment. But not only did he pass over them, he parted the sea. He provided for them. He gave them the wealth of Egypt. The plagues didn't come near them. None of them came near them. And they also inherited promises. So it's incredible when God goes into a covenant, there's always more to it than what meets the eye. But we know that Jesus, this last Sunday, 2,000 years ago, came into the city of Jerusalem riding on a donkey to be that lamb that would take away the sins of the world. There wouldn't have to be another sacrifice. That would be the sacrifice that would pay for it once and for all. And not only for the children of Israel, not only for the Jewish nation, but also for all mankind. And if you study the story, and it's really interesting because this is something I wanted to talk about even before the coronavirus came on the scene. But it wouldn't have been quite like this. It's changed a little bit because I feel we need to do that tonight. So I want to go in our Bibles to Matthew 26, verse number 36. To the Garden of Gethsemane. The night before Jesus is put on the cross. I can only imagine what it must have been like. Actually, I think I can't imagine what it must have been like for him to be on that cross that night. And I think that, sorry, I'm having some technical difficulties. All right, back to normal. I think that with Jesus going to, knowing that he's about to face his greatest challenge. You know, we talk about his life, and his life was such a sacrificial life already. He never lived in a way that most of us live, planning our vacations, planning savings and doing different things. He had one purpose, and that was to do the will of the Father. That was to save mankind. He lived to die from the beginning. But if we take a look at the story of Gethsemane, I'm going to reveal something to you, and maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't. But I think it'll encourage you tremendously in a time like this. So let's go. Jesus is going to be arrested shortly. He goes to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. And if you've been there, I've been there, and it's the most beautiful place. It's right there, right near the gate of the city on the eastern side. And the Kidron Valley's in the bottom, and the Garden of Gethsemane, the Mount of Olives is slightly above it there. And it's a beautiful place. And so Jesus goes in there to pray with his disciples. And this is what it says, Matthew 26, verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." I want to start by saying this. In this moment, as Jesus is about to face his destiny, as he's about to face what he has to do, what he's been called to do, for that moment, the whole of earth was watching. I mean, everything was watching this whole thing play out. And he's in this moment. And in this moment, as he's about to step into what he's called to do, we see that he becomes sorrowful. I want to tell you that sorrow is something that even Jesus experienced. The Bible says that he became deeply distressed. That deep distress is intense. It's not just a normal distress. In fact, verse 38 says, "Then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.'" If you look in one of the other gospels, the Bible says that his sweat became like drops of blood. That's the intensity of the anguish that Jesus was experiencing. It's like an intense anxiety or stress that came on him, a sorrow that came on him that was so intense. Because he knew what he was about to face, and he knew it was going to be really difficult. And this was overwhelming him. This destiny, this purpose, the everything's watching. The enemy wants to kill him. Everything's looking and breathing and all around him, and he's moving into this moment. And then something very powerful happens. Watch this. Verse 39 says, "And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me.'" Now, I think that many of us in our lives have been to a certain point where we get to this place where what we're dealing with in our purpose, in our destiny, in our lives, where we say to God, "God, just please take this away from me. God, this coronavirus, just get it away from us." And it's a reasonable thing to say. It's a reasonable thing to say, no matter what we face, no matter what challenges come our way. How many of you watching, how many of you connected right now know what I'm talking about, where you've been in that place where you say, "God, please, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to have to go through with this. I don't want to have to go through this. Take it away from me." But it's amazing what Jesus says, because Jesus, he knew exactly what he was doing. He says, "Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." In that moment, Jesus surrenders even the stress, the anxiety, whatever it was he was feeling in that moment. He surrenders it and says, "Okay, God, even though I feel this way and I want you to take this away from me in this moment, I'm prepared to do whatever you say. Not my will, but your will be done." That's why, guys, whenever you ask anything according to his will, it will be done. Because you must understand, it was not the will of God for Jesus not to go through this. So that's why the prayer wasn't answered. That's why it wasn't answered. He had to go through this. This was part of his destiny. This was part of his calling. And so Jesus cries out. Now, you would think, this being Jesus, after he's experienced this prayer, he's had this moment, now he goes. Watch what happens. Verse number 40. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Now I want you to take note, if you have your Bible in front of you, look at what it says. It says, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" I can assure you, Jesus didn't do this. "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Rith. When he got there, he was so mad. And he looked at those disciples that didn't recognize what was busy taking place. He'd already prepared them and actually told them that he was going to go and die and rise again. He went with them in his deepest hour of distress, and they just didn't recognize the hour of what was about to take place. Church, let me say something to you. We may not recognize what we're busy dealing with right now on the planet. That's why it's our destiny and purpose to do what we are called to do as the body of Christ in such a time as this. And that is that we have to be the body. We have to do the will of the Father. We have to pray. We have to intercede. We have to fight. Are you with me? You know this. I don't need to teach you that. But just look at what he says. So he's very frustrated, and I think it's because of all the stress and everything that's going on with him. And sometimes when that happens, you look at your team and you think, you know, what's wrong with you people? I know what that's like. Amen. I'm just kidding. My team is perfect. They never do that. And then he says to them, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation." And then he understands that they don't see it because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus recognizes that, listen, if they only could get it inside, they would understand. And this is what I want you to notice. Take a look at what's about to happen. Verse 42. Again, a second time he went and prayed, saying, "Oh my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." I want you to just see this. This is so powerful. Jesus first goes to God the first time and says, "Lord, if this cup will not pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." He goes to the disciples. He knows that nothing is changing. He's still going to the cross. He still has to face what he's got to do. He has to face his destiny. And in that moment, he turns around, he goes back, and he asks the Father again, "Will you not take this cup from me, Lord? Will you not take this from me?" Again, he cries out because he knows what he's about to go through. And it's intense and it's heavy and it's difficult and it's the most torturous thing. He knows. He can see it. I want you to understand that if you have been in a place like that, don't think because you've gone back to God a second time and said, "Listen, God, I can't deal with this. This is too difficult for me." Whether it's now or in your life before or something you've been through, even Jesus was at that place. Do you see how powerful this is? Are we trying to lessen Jesus? Not at all. Not in any way whatsoever. And look at what the Bible says in verse 43. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Now, so Jesus again goes back to the Father, prays again, walks to see his disciples. Again, they're sleeping. If it was me, I would have given them a clout, but you know, he didn't do that. Now watch this, because this is what's astounding to me. He goes back a third time. Look at what the Bible says in verse 44. So he left them, went away again, and the third time saying the same words. In other words, Jesus cried out to the Father three times for that cup that he was about to face to be taken away from him. What I want to say to you, church, is that God had a plan for Jesus that had to be fulfilled. God has a timeline for each and every one of us and a plan for each and every one of us. And the best prayer that we can pray is to say, "Father, not my will, but your will be done. I submit to you. I submit myself to you. I know what your word says. I know, Father, that you've got us, that you'll protect us, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. I understand this, Lord. But Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. All I want to do, Father, is fulfill the purpose and the plan that you have for my life. That's the greatest prayer that we can pray. That's why when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, one of the first things he taught them was he said to them, pray like this. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, he's saying you need to line your prayers up. You need to line your will, your purpose, the plan that the Father has for you. You need to line it up with heaven. Because if you do that, you will walk in everything that heaven has for you. But I want to say to you this evening that there will be moments where you will feel like it's too difficult. You will feel like you can't overcome it. You'll feel like you don't have what it takes to do it. But I want to say to you that in that moment, when you feel that way, that's when you cry out that prayer. But not my will. Your will be done. Not my will, Father, but your will be done. And so we know the story that Jesus ends up being arrested shortly thereafter. I just think it's so amazing to see how, even in his darkest hour, he cries out to God, but at the same time, knowing very well that he must submit himself to the will of the Father to fulfill everything that needs to happen. But I want to show you something even more powerful. Watch this. Let's go to Mark 15, verse 24. I'm not going to be very long this evening. Jesus is now on the cross. They're busy crucifying him. Watch this now. Verse 24, Mark 15, verse 24. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots from them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written above, the King of the Jews. With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also mocking among themselves with the scribes said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him reveled him. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's so powerful to me, this. I love this. I love it so much because in this moment, you get to see Jesus. In this moment, you get to see him. And there's so many scholars that say that the Father turns his face. I don't know what the Father did. All I know is this, is that in that moment, Jesus felt like he was alone. And I want to say to you that in your walk with God, when you face different things, there might be moments where you feel like God is not with you anymore. But if you've prayed that prayer and you've made that decision, not my will, Father, but your will be done, he will get you through everything. And even when you feel like he's left you, like he's forsaken you, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Because if you know the story, you know what happens. Jesus has a triumphal raise from the dead. And he fulfills his destiny and purpose in the most magnificent way. And he's the King of Kings, and he's going to come riding on a horse. And his name is going to be wonderful. His name is going to be... he's going to do the most, he's still going to do the most amazing things. He has and will still do the most incredible things. But what he does is he fulfills his destiny. You see, no matter what you deal with, no matter what you go through, no matter how you feel, you have to continue on with the will of the Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? And I want to jump from there to John 19 because there's something that one of the other writers say that's so powerful to me. In John 19, verse 17, it kind of picks up from more or less the same place. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put on hyssop, and put it in into his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, watch this, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Man, in this moment, I can only imagine, after everything he'd been through, not only on the cross and not only the road to the cross from the Garden of Gethsemane, but his entire life, the way that he lived it, when they came against him, when they criticized him, when they mocked him, when they plotted to kill him, when they tried to stone him, everything. In that moment, he hung on that cross and it was finally over. And if you know how long it was a long time that he was on that cross. And he cries out, it's finished. It's finished, Lord. I don't know everything that was going through his mind, but I know in that moment it must have been, everything has been completed. What you sent me to do, I have done. I don't know about you, but I know that when I'm at the end of my life, I want to be able to say those words. It is finished, Lord. What you've called me to do, I have done. Paul says it like this. He says, I've run my race. I've run my race. I've done it. Basically, what he was saying is, it's finished. I've done what I was called to do. I want to say to you, church, if we look at Jesus, we can't compare what we're going through now to what he went through then. His was far greater than this. But I want you to know that it doesn't matter what you go through. Submit yourself to his will, to his plan, to his purposes, and you will fulfill your destiny, and you will fulfill your purpose, and God will complete everything that he started in you. Now let's take a look at this, because that scripture where he says it is finished, he actually says something very beautiful in John 17, verse number 1. He's talking to his disciples, and he's actually praying, and watch what he says. John 17, verse number 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given to me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me and have given an And they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me. And they have received them. And have known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me. And look at this. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours. The same way that he sent Jesus, he's also sent you. And Jesus says, I've done what you've asked me to do, Father. I've finished the race. I've completed it. I had to go through all kinds of different things. But at the end of the day, what you sent me to do from the beginning, I have completed it. And I want to say to you this evening, I want you to know that what Jesus did on the cross was so that he could save all of mankind, but he also did it to give you a future and a hope, not only in eternity, but also on this earth. God knew you would be dealing with the coronavirus and whatever else you have to deal with right now. And he's given you everything you need to overcome this so that you can rise up and step into what he has for you for the rest of your life. There's only one thing we have to do. There's only one prayer we have to pray. And that is the same prayer that Jesus prayed. The same words that he said. And that is to say this, Father, no matter what, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. You have a timeline for this planet. And I can tell you right now, I don't believe we are right at the end of that. So don't stress out. I'm not trying to tell you we're at the end and we're all going to die. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is get ready, church. Because we're about to step into one of the most incredible, exciting times for the church. It may not be quite as we expect it, but watch what God is going to do. There is a shaking going on right now. But you must remember that he'll shake everything. But the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. The kingdom of God will not be moved. And if you're in the kingdom, you will not be shaken. And all you have to do whenever anything comes is cry out to him and say, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Have your way, Father. Have your way, Lord. Have your way in my family. Have your way in my business. Have your way in my life, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the sacrifice that Jesus made. Lord, even in his moment of torment, when he stood there and cried out to you three times and asked you three times if this cup would not be taken away from him. Lord, I thank you that he did that because it gives me hope for the thousands of times that I've asked you. Lord, make it easier for me. Make it easier for me. And so, Father, I pray that even tonight that you will strengthen every person, because does your word not say that he overcame? He overcame, and we too will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so, Father, because of what Jesus did, tonight we will remember. We will remember that sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice of all time. And because of that, we choose. We choose. We make a decision tonight to say, no matter what, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Not my plans, but your plan. Not my thoughts, but your thoughts. And so I ask, Father, that you strengthen every person right now that is connected. And we're going to take communion tonight, Lord. And we're going to renew. We're going to renew ourselves in front of you. We're going to commit ourselves to you tonight, Father, because we know that the sacrifice that Jesus made was so great. And as we read about what he went through in Gethsemane, and Father, we haven't even touched really on what happened on that cross. But what a sacrifice. Because of that, the sins of the world have been taken away. And we're just so grateful to you. So thankful, Father, tonight. And so, Lord, as we come together right now, and if I can ask you if you can collect your communion elements. We all know what happened with the communion elements. Jesus was with his disciples, and he told them that every time they eat this bread and drink this cup, that we would remember him. But Paul says that every time we take communion, we must first examine our own hearts. And so this evening, this is what I want us to do, church. Take a moment to remember. To remember what Jesus has done. In this moment, as we're about to take communion, we're about to go before Him privately, there in your home, as a family, you can do it. If you want to do it on your own, you can do it on your own. But I want you to remember that it is because of His sacrifice that we have life. And we can get through every obstacle, everything, we can get through it because of what He has done. So let's take a moment right now. Let's examine our own hearts, and then I'm going to pray and we'll take communion together. Right now, let's speak to the Lord. Let's renew our vows, our commitments, our lives to Him tonight in this place. So, Father, tonight, as a church, we may not be in the same building, but we are together. We remember what You have done. We're so grateful to You for it, Lord. Tonight, we reflect on what happened on Calvary. On Sunday, we will celebrate the resurrection. But, Father, tonight, we want to come to You, Lord. Father, we see throughout Scripture how You are always with Your people. You never leave them. You never forsake them. You are always by their side, loving them, desiring to be with them. Father, thank You for what Jesus did on that cross. Thank You that we can come to You like this tonight and say, Father, forgive us for any sins or anything that we've committed. Father, everyone has their own story. Right now, we renew our commitments to You tonight in the midst of this coronavirus, but so profoundly over Passover season, over this Holy Week. And Father, we know You will get us through this and we will see a great revival. We know it's coming. And even in the midst of it, Father, we say to You right now, not my will, Lord, but Your will be done. In my life, my wife, my children, the church, our businesses, everything we have, Father, not our will, but Your will be done. This is our desire, Lord, for each and every one of us. Thank You tonight as we remember Good Friday, the cross, and as we partake right now of the body and the blood in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's all take the bread together. And let's take the juice as well. Right there in your house, just lift your hands. We thank You, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for writing our names in the book of life. Thank you for giving us life. Thank you for giving us and giving us and giving us. Now, Father, we want to give our lives to you. We want to give our lives back to you. Not our will, but your will be done, Father. Have your way in our lives. Glorify your name, Father, in our lives. And we're excited about what's coming. We know you're going to move powerfully. We give you thanks for it right now. And on this night, Father, once again, we want to cry out to you for our nation, for this nation, for our president, for the sick, and the ones that have lost family members. We pray for them right now. We pray, Father, for deliverance and healing for our nation. Lord, let this week be the week where the shift takes place. Lord, let it take place in a supernatural way. And we will give you glory and honor and praise in the midst of it. And so we thank you. And we love you. And we honor you. And we look forward to celebrating on Sunday what happened when their grave was empty. When they went to look and the body was no longer there. And Father, all of heaven was celebrating, for the King had come, the King had risen. And so, Father, we look to that moment, even as now, and even now in this moment, we look to it as a moment of hope, Father, for there is resurrection power that resides in the church even now. And so we give you thanks and praise for it, for we were destined to be born for such a time as this, for you have equipped us and empowered us to be your mouthpiece, to be your body in this earth right now. And we are the ones who will speak peace, and we are the ones who will speak love, and we are the ones who will speak healing and deliverance and salvation. And so, Father, we thank you for it, and we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship with the Spirit be with every one of you tonight. Enjoy your families, church. Enjoy your loved ones. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in with us. It's always so awesome and an honor for us to be with you. Don't forget, we don't have prayer tomorrow morning, but we will be back with you at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. I think on Sunday morning, you better bring your dancing shoes, because we are going to celebrate the resurrection of our King, the resurrection of our Savior, that not only died, but rose again. Go in the peace of God, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.